Welcome to Menopause in the Kitchen, where we talk all things food and nutrition for women in their midlife years. I'm Rachel Cooper, dietitian and food lover, with a passion for sharing information about nutrition in practical ways so that you can take what you need and implement it into your lifestyle. Join me in my kitchen as I share bite-sized chunks of information to help you nourish your body and thrive in your midlife years and beyond. Welcome back to Menopause in the Kitchen. I'm pleased to be talking to you again in another episode. And today's episode is going to be another kitchen chat. So if you haven't listened to any of my kitchen chats before, basically the idea is that imagine we're sitting in my kitchen having a cup of tea or coffee or something and having a chat about a particular topic. And so usually it's something that I've come across or thought about and wanted to share my thoughts. So today's kitchen chat is going to be about emotional eating. And I've been sort of thinking a little bit about emotional eating and how I viewed it and how I viewed emotional eating when I was first learning to become a non-diet dietitian, and how that has changed over the time and how I think about it now. And so that's kind of what I'd sort of read something about emotional eating recently and started thinking about what my thoughts were around it. And so I guess what is emotional eating? Generally, we describe emotional eating when we eat something that during a time where we're feeling quite strong emotions. So those emotions can be a range of different things. It could be due to stress. It could be sadness. It could be boredom. It could be well, generally, I must say that when we talk about emotional eating as a problem, it's usually those more uncomfortable emotions, which, you know, are the sadness and the stress and those sorts of things. But really, we can eat for a range of different emotions. And this is where I've sort of expanded my thinking about this. And I feel like the emotional eating has sort of been labeled as an issue. It's like an issue that needs to be solved. And generally what that is relating to is when we're eating because of these uncomfortable emotions and maybe eating to comfort ourselves, to give ourselves comfort, or to distract ourselves from something that is going on in our life that is difficult. And so that's sort of, I guess, when people sort of think about emotional eating as a problem to be solved, that's generally what they're referring to. But in my reflections on emotional eating, I realized that we can eat in times of a range of different emotions, really, because if you think about, and I've said this before, that we don't eat just for nutrition or just because we're hungry. We eat for so many different reasons, and for social reasons is one of them. So if we are having a birthday party, what do we often do? We have cake. If we're celebrating something, we often have food as part of it. If we're catching up with a friend or family, we might have a cup of coffee and cake, or go out for dinner. So there's so many emotions that are attached to eating, and they're not necessarily just those uncomfortable ones. That emotions and food and eating, I think, really just go together in a lot of different ways. And, you know, even if I think about there's certain foods or certain times where we eat certain foods or have certain cultural get-togethers or things like that that remind me of, say, my grandparents. and the emotions that sort of come up for me with that. You know, those memories of times with someone maybe who is no longer with us. And so I think that emotions and food, they can't be separated. I think that they're always going to be linked. But if we think about the emotional eating that I guess we often sort of think of needing to fix, which is eating because of those more uncomfortable emotions rather than the positive ones that make us sort of feel good. When I was first sort of learning how to be a non-diet dietitian, and when I was learning about this approach, I often spoke to clients about emotional eating, and I saw it as a problem that needed to be solved. I saw it as something that I needed to help teach people to not do. And so I guess it kind of came across as that sort of emotional eating sort of linked in with non-hungry eating. So eating when we're not necessarily hungry, we're eating for other reasons. And in this particular case, it might be because of uncomfortable emotions that someone might be feeling. They turn to food because that is provides a comfort or a distraction or whatever it might be. And I now sort of, I've been really reflecting, and I realized that the way I think about this is quite different now, in that I don't necessarily see it as a problem to be solved. I also realized that eating as a comfort tool is often, it's accessible for a lot of people, and it's often the only tool that they have. So for me to say you shouldn't be eating when, you know, you're, you know, feeling these emotions, that you that turning to food is not the answer, is almost kind of taking away the one tool that many people actually have to help them deal with difficult times. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, using food only as your only tool to deal with difficult emotions or to help you through uncomfortable emotions. I don't know that that as your only tool is necessarily a good thing, but I acknowledge the fact that for many people it is the only tool that they have. And by trying to take that away, then what are they left with? So I've sort of realized that just as a dietitian, taking away that tool that someone has because we see that as a problem, leaves them potentially with nothing else, and that's not a good thing either. So I guess the way that I think about it now is that I realize that eating for comfort is a tool that people use, and I don't think it's a bad one. I do, though, think that we need a range of tools to help us with uncomfortable emotions and with dealing with tricky situations in our life. And so it might be an invitation to someone who maybe uses food as their only tool to get curious and explore what other things they could use to help them through those particular times. And I guess if you're using food as a way of dealing with some uncomfortable emotions or a difficult time in your life, only happens every now and again, it doesn't really matter. But I think if we are using, if it's happening more regularly, if it's happening on a very regular basis and it is the only tool we have, then having a range of tools could be a good idea that you can draw upon. And I guess one thing that I look at is maybe inviting people to look into other strategies. What other things could you have? Food is definitely one tool you could use, but there's so many other things that could help as well. So having like a toolbox of a range of different things to choose from can be really helpful rather than relying on just one thing. And I think that's the same for any tool you might use to help you through difficult times. Having just one can be, it could be problematic, or it could be risky to have just one tool to help you through difficult emotions or difficult times. So it's not just food, it's really any tool. Having a range of tools is something that I think can be much more useful for us to draw upon depending on the situation, where we are, what we have access to, etc. And so if you don't know what other tools might exist, it might be, for many people, they might need to talk to someone to talk that through. So it could be with a counselor or a psychologist or another healthcare provider that can, discuss a range of different things that you can draw upon to help you with times where, you know, you are feeling these uncomfortable emotions. The other thing I've been thinking about a lot in terms of emotions is the fact that there are certain emotions that do make us feel uncomfortable. So whether that might be sadness, it might be stress, it might be boredom, it might be anger. We often see these as sort of negative emotions. I don't think there's negative and positive emotions. I think we just have emotions, and there's a whole range of different emotions we can feel over the day, over the week, over the years. And it's just that some of them make us feel more uncomfortable. And sometimes we can be conditioned to be uncomfortable with certain emotions. So sadness and, you know, being teary and crying may feel uncomfortable to us because we've been told that we shouldn't cry, you know, even from a young age. Don't cry about that. Stop crying. You don't need to cry. Rather than seeing crying and sadness as just part of life. And it's an emotion we experience, and sometimes we have to ride through it. We don't necessarily need to stop it. And that's certainly something I've been trying to work on myself with my own emotions, is that knowing that we experience a range of emotions in our life, and they're not good, bad, they just are emotions. And we feel them for a range of different reasons. And we don't need to, just because something feels uncomfortable to us doesn't mean that we should try to stop that emotion, or stop feeling that emotion, or distract ourselves from that emotion, that we can actually just sit with it and ride through the emotion. Now, obviously, for some people, if you are experiencing, you know, depression, anxiety, some sort of other mental health condition, you know, professional help is what you may need to help you through that. And feeling these uncomfortable emotions day in, day out, and for long lengths of time is not good for us. It's a sign that you probably need to seek help. But for those of us who don't necessarily have a mental health disorder, or we're not sort of feeling these emotions on a really regular basis, they're not you know, affecting our life day in, day out, but they come and they go, is something that I've been learning is to just sit with the emotion, acknowledge that, okay, what I'm feeling right now is sadness, and I'm feeling teary, and, you know, the other bodily sort of feelings that I feel during that time, and to kind of allow myself to sit with that emotion and ride it like a wave, and then it sort of passes, and then I move on, rather than fighting it and trying to stop it. So, you know, so these emotions that we kind of feel uncomfortable about are the ones that we often want to get rid of. We want them to go away. But the reality is that we're humans, and we live in a human life, and that these emotions are going to be playing a part in our life, because not everything is wonderful in life. We don't feel happy and wonderful and loved and, you know, excited and motivated and whatever every single day. There are days where we just don't feel that. And we have things that happen in our life that that can lead to these emotions. And that's normal. It's a very normal experience. And rather than trying to get away from it or to stop it, we can acknowledge that this is part of life. And we can kind of ride through it and sit with it. And of course, having tools to help us through that is really important. And like I said, you know, a range of tools is ideal. But I don't think that having food as part of that toolbox is necessarily a bad thing, because food can give us comfort and it can help us, you know, maybe focus on something that is enjoyable during a difficult time in our life. And so I don't think that that's inherently a bad thing to eat when we're feeling emotional, or to help us with emotions. I guess where, you know, it may not be a good thing is when it's your only tool and you're using it all the time. So it's something that's happening very, very regularly. One may be the fact that you're feeling these uncomfortable emotions very, very regularly may need to be talked about with a health professional to sort of work through that. Like, why are you having those feelings, those emotions so regularly? What is going on there? And obviously there are a range of different things that could be causing that. There could be trauma in your past. There could be things going on in your life that you're finding difficult to deal with. And that is that sign to go, well, I need to potentially go and talk to someone about this. It could also be, if we're talking about midlife women, and, you know, this is a podcast about midlife women, is when we go into perimenopause particularly and our hormones are fluctuating so much, our mood can fluctuate a lot during this time. And so if we're noticing that our mood is really dropping and then we're feeling very sad, teary, angry, you know, whatever, you know, maybe just really, really flat. And that's happening regularly and it's affecting our quality of life and affecting us, you know, in terms of being able to live a fulfilled life. Again, that might be a sign to go and have a chat to your doctor about it, because, you know, it could be a hormonal reason that's causing these emotions, and maybe they are stronger than they normally are and you're finding it difficult to get through the day when you feel that way. And, you know, things like hormonal therapy, so menopausal hormonal therapy or HRT, hormonal therapy, could help with sort of regulating that a little bit more by bringing your hormonal levels back up so that they're not causing those issues. So having a look at the underlying, you know, cause, if there may be a cause that needs addressing, but also acknowledging that just in life, if you're a human, we're going to experience things in life and we're not always going to feel wonderful and happy, and that those other emotions are going to come up and that that is normal and okay. And finding ways to help ourselves during that time is the key. And food might be one of the things that you use. So I guess to sum it up, what I am explaining is that I used to see emotional eating as a problem that I needed to help someone solve, but I now see it a bit differently. I see it as something that is accessible to a lot of people and can actually help people. And I think it still can be part of that toolbox. But I think it's a good idea to have a range of different tools in that toolbox to help us through those times. So that's just my thoughts on emotional eating. I'd be really interested in your thoughts about it. How do you deal with emotions, particularly those uncomfortable ones? Do you use food as part of your coping strategies? And what does that look like for you? And how does that feel for you? And do you potentially need more tools in your toolbox? That's just a few things, I guess, to reflect on. And I will leave it there. I do want to just say here again that if you are feeling, low mood, anxiety and things like that quite regularly, and it is affecting your daily life and your quality of life, please seek help. Please don't just think that that's normal. It's normal to experience these emotions from time to time, definitely. But if you're feeling them all the time and it's really affecting your life and the way that you want to live your life, then that is a sign to reach out and talk to someone, talk to a loved one or a friend, maybe to begin with, and then potentially think about talking to a health professional that can get you the help that you need. Anyway, I hope that was an interesting thing, something to reflect on and think about. And I think it just highlights the fact that even as a health professional myself, that I can change the way I think about things over time. And the more that I experience, the more that I see, the more that I hear from people with lived experience, the more that I can reflect and look at things that I've been taught, I can over time think to myself, does that ring true? Is that kind of what I still believe? And just because someone else has told me that this is a problem or this is something that I should solve, is that exactly what I think? And I think as a midlife woman, you know, we really do reflect on a lot of things that we've done in the past and sort of wonder, hang on a minute, I need to think that through, you know, is that really what I still think? And so, you know, that's just an example of something that, you know, my thoughts have changed over time. And no doubt, you know, in future years, I might have other things that, you know, maybe I once did, but I don't anymore, or that I've changed my thinking about. So I think that's normal. And that's being human. And that's about growing and learning. And, you know, I think that I'm happy to share things that maybe I used to do that I don't do anymore, that I think differently about, because that just shows that I grow as a person and as a health professional. Anyway, I'm going to leave my chat there and I will speak to you all soon. Thank you so much for listening. And if you would like any further information about midlife nutrition, don't forget to go over to my social media, Instagram, Facebook. I'll put all the links down below and also head to my website where I have a range of information, some blogs and so on. Head over there and have a read and get some further information. And if there's something specific you'd like me to talk about, please reach out, send me a DM or an email, and I'd love to hear if there's anything in particular you want to know about that I could do a future podcast episode on. Thanks so much, everyone.